Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sunny Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Really quick before we get to our guest today, some show notes. If you are looking for wrestling tonight, WCWO running in Indianapolis, Indiana, PSW in Piedmont, Alabama, All Star Wrestling in Cloverdale, British Columbia, VPW in Santa Maria, California, CWE in Winnipeg, Manitoba, XMW in Houston, Texas, and RCCW in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Tomorrow night in our neck of the woods, SCW running in Paulsbo, Washington, FTW in Spencer, Indiana, UIPW in Montebello, California, UEW in Los Angeles, California, Anarchy Pro Wrestling in Berwyn, Illinois, PWB in Joliet, Illinois, IPW in Bloomington, Indiana, Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling in Warsaw, Indiana, KZW in Somerset, Kentucky, NSCW in Franklin, Kentucky, MICW in Hollywood, Maryland, UCW in Bay City, Michigan, Old Time Wrestling in Williamston, New Jersey, ACWA in McAdoo, Pennsylvania, Reality of Wrestling in Texas City, Texas, 605 Championship Wrestling in Charlestown, West Virginia, and IWA East Coast in Nitro, West Virginia tomorrow. I would like to introduce our guest for this week. She is Haley Shadows. Haley, welcome to the program today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about it.
Since this is your first time on our particular program, we're going to give you the first timer's question. How did you get started in the professional wrestling industry?
It all started. My mom was watching football when I was real little, and she was switching through the channels, whatever. There was a commercial, and wrestling came on. And truth be told, I was like 1.5. I was still in diapers, and she didn't want me watching it because it was too aggressive. So she went to change it, and apparently I started crying and freaked out. So she put it on, and it was pretty much from there. And my cousin Johnny used to wrestle when I was younger. We lived in Oklahoma at the time when wrestling first came into my life, but we moved back home to New York, and my cousin Johnny used to bring home championships and all of that. So it was pretty much love at first sight, plus seeing what he went through and what he brought home and how much he loved it. So I think it all started when I was about 1.5, but it was really like, hey, I really want to do this when I was about 6 or 7.
Do you know who it was you were watching when you first had the fit about having the wrestling turn off the TV?
Yeah, it was Steve Austin.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Since you knew since you were very, very young that this is something that you wanted to do, were there things that you did athletically to try to build yourself up for when you did start wrestling training? Had you done any other athletics or any type of conditioning work to prepare in advance of wrestling?
Well, when I was younger and we lived in Long Island, I did gymnastics. And then when we moved back up to where I'm from in Walton, New York, I did sports throughout high school. But I don't think really training in any other sport can really condition you to be wrestling fit. But where I'm from, we have more cows than people. So having a wrestling company or a trainer or anything of that sort to actually train you is nearly impossible where I was from. So it was more or less, I got a trampoline and I practiced stuff on there. And I grew up with a huge pond, so we had like a dock and stuff, so practicing flips and all of that. But I did sports and stuff in high school, but I can run and do this and that all day when it comes to other sports, but being actually in the ring is a totally different setup.
One of the things that is a little bit unique about you is you happen to have a manager in a lot of the promotions where you go. Wrestling managers are sort of a dying breed in this day and age. What is it like having a manager to be able to help you go into these promotions and offer maybe a little bit of guidance?
I think it definitely helps having a manager, especially if you're as close with your manager as I am with mine. Because going into a locker room, especially if you don't know who's there or what the company is about, having someone that's already on your side definitely gets into your head where, you know, you feel like you're meant to be there. And as for, I guess, our kind of ritual before we go out, as soon as my music hits, I have a little bit of time before I go out to the ring anyway, but my manager just kind of gets into my head, whether the crowd hates me or they're cheering for me. It's like, you know, they came here for you, like, we're going to tear this up. So definitely having a manager helps when it comes to having your game face on and, you know, not trying to get out of your own head and everything, just staying in one spot and really tearing it up, you know.
You're part of Hashtag Horror Show, which is a stable that hits a lot of different promotions. Like we said, Jason Saint, the manager there, there's a number of people in that organization, depending on where they travel to and which promotion you're seeing them. What's it like being able to learn and grow within the confines of a wrestling stable, which is also something you don't see a lot of success with in this era of professional wrestling on the independent level?
It's definitely helped me as a character build and really getting out of my shell. Because when I first started ever, I never thought that I would be looked at as like a bad guy or be in a stable or have a manager even. But being part of Hashtag Horror Show has definitely opened my eyes to what I can do, not just inside the ring, but outside the ring as well, because I sometimes manage Hashtag Horror Show or they're managing me, but I've seen and have been a part of a lot of stables that just fall through just because, whether it's miscommunication or the people that's actually in the stable, they're not alike in a way. But Hashtag Horror Show, it really seems as if whether we're on the road together, or we're at a show, or we're just hanging out, like, without wrestling involved, we really seem like a family. And, I mean, Jason and Zodiac, like, they're two of my best friends, like, inside the ring and outside the ring. We talk about everything. And, I mean, me and Jason and Zodiac, like, we talk until, like, 4 in the morning sometimes. So, I mean, not just ring-based, it's really, we're a family, and it's like when we go out to the ring, it's like, okay, game face, you know, time for everyone to hate us, and we tear everything up. And then outside the ring, we talk about what we did, what we can come out with, and it's not one of those things that I feel misplaced in. Like, I can spit off ideas or be like, hey, you know, I kind of want to go this way with this, and they totally feel it, and it's awesome being able to go to the ring with those two and do something specific that I didn't even discuss in the back, and they're just right up on it, like they're where they need to be and everything like that. So having the same frame of mind when it comes to in the locker room and in the ring and on the road, it definitely helps.
You're still really young in your career, but already you've been traveling quite a bit. You've wrestled all over the Midwest in Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and you've also gone up into New York, among other places. What's it like having so much travel experience at such a young age, which is not something that's very common for wrestlers of your age and your experience level?
It's pretty awesome because, again, coming from a small town, a lot of my family, a lot of my friends, a lot of the people I know back there, they didn't even leave New York State, let alone, you know, traveling to all these different states. But I knew before I even started that was something that I really wanted to do, not just to get my name out there, but get the experience. And, you know, you hear a lot of people being like, okay, well, this show's like 6 hours. This road trip's going to drag. But honestly, like, I love traveling anyway. So for the most part, as long as the weather's good, the further the better. Because you learn so much going on the road, whether it's, you know, one wrestler in the car with you or the whole car full. Like, you just learn so much about the other person, and you just learn a lot about wrestling, and you make it count. Plus, getting to the destination and the area and wrestling for the company, it's like, okay, you know, this is why we do this. This is why we travel the way we do, and we're sore on the way home and sore on the way there. Like, it's all worth it. But being the age that I am and being where I have been, I'm definitely grateful for it. But I mean, there's more on the horizon here lately, and just keep going to state to state and knocking them off and just basically having the shadows take over.
In your opinion so far, what's the best thing and what is the worst thing when it comes to traveling?
The best thing is definitely just, like, meeting people, because I feel like if you really want to grow and learn in this business, you have to travel, because you can't just be in a small pond forever and expect to learn new things just from that. So definitely meeting new people and hearing, you know, different stories and just learning as you go. But the worst thing, probably just driving in, like, blizzards and shit, because that is, like, the worst. Because me and my tag partner, Maria, we were driving up to a show, like, 2 weeks ago, and in Kentucky, the weather was awful. I mean, we were on the road, like, 15 minutes, and we slid across the highway and bummed out the whole side of our car. We ran into, like, a barricade, and we kept going, and it was supposed to be, like, a 1.5-2 hour trip, and it ended up taking us like 6 to 8 hours just to get there, and it was awful. It was so bad. But yeah, other than the weather, I can't really say there's really anything bad when it comes to traveling and stuff like that, because I mean, I love being on the road.
Now, you talked about Amazing Maria. You both tag team and feud with her depending on the promotion. What's it like being in there with the Amazing One?
It's amazing. being on the same side as her is just awesome, just because we do have a lot of the same ideas. And her and me, again, her and I, we travel all the time together, whether it's, you know, to a show or just to hang out. We talk all the time. So being in the ring with her, whether it's on the same team or against each other, it's incredible, just because it's like we know each other so well that our ring chemistry is already there. And when we're in the ring, we really can see to the people and really relate to them as to what they want. Like, okay, people are chanting this, so let's try to work here. And when it comes to a tag team, for the most part, people aren't really fond of us when we're together. But, I mean, as a tag team, no matter where we've wrestled at together, we're undefeated, and we're the first ever LAW tag team champions. But we've been taking those belts everywhere we go. So it's pretty awesome to be able to have an opponent that you're so confident in the ring with, but also being undefeated and champions. So it's the best of both worlds, I think, when it comes to Maria and I.
The two of you also both do a lot of all-girl shows. In your opinion, what's it like working on all-girl shows? Do you enjoy those and are you able to see the companies grow as a all-girl promotion?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't mind being on shows with guys, but actually having shows where women's wrestling is recognized but also appreciated is incredible to me, just because I feel for a really long time the women's division in any company was kind of like a dying breed, and people were like, okay, well, you know, whether it be on TV or a live event, whatever, it was like, okay, the girls are out, we're going to go grab snacks. Like, it wasn't something that was really important to people anymore. So I think the women's division and a lot of different companies are building up, but having shows such as the Girl Fights, it's amazing because we have such a good crowd every show that they do. And now they're traveling, like, not just in Indiana. Like, they had one in Michigan not too long ago that Maria was a part of. And it's amazing to me, just because what once was looked at as, you know, kind of like a intermission type of thing is now they have live events about it. And, like, High Spots, they videotape girl fights. So now that's being broadcasted on there. So it's just really, really incredible what the women's division is becoming.
Were you a fan of any of the televised all-girl promotions like GLOW and all promotions like that that had a TV presence?
Oh, yeah, because they also have, like, Shimmer and Shine and all that. And, again, I think it's amazing what they do, especially because, like, I've always been a fan of women's wrestling. Not all of it, but, you know, like, some of it, just like the guys. But just seeing where they are now and how people talk about it, like, you can go up to any wrestling fan or any wrestler and name any of those promotions, and they're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is on there. Oh, yeah, they had this many people. And it's just amazing what certain promoters and, you know, women in general that wrestle that have a heart and a passion for it that just continue to get better. But also they're not just worried about themselves. They're worried about making other people better too. It just goes to show how bad the women want it now.
Now, you talked a little bit about traveling to different areas and kind of basing some of what you do on the fans and their individual tastes. What's some of the scariest fans that you've had to encounter thus far?
Oh, geez. Well, actually, I just found out this morning that one of my tires was slashed at one of the promotions I was at. So that's been pretty crazy. But actually being out in front of a crowd and not having the crowd take you too well, like, some people, you know, like, they get into it to a normal fan level, but I've had people jump barricades, I've had people try to fist fight me, I've had someone follow me to my car with a screwdriver before. There's been a lot of crazy fans that take it seriously, like, hey, you know, like, she came out here and called me this, so I have to go after her. And I mean, it's great, you know, that the fans get into it, but to the point where it's getting extremely violent is ridiculous, but I mean, that keeps it fun. But yeah, no, there's some fans out there that take it to a whole nother level.
Has there ever been a situation where you actually feared for your safety, be it going out by yourself or even with the manager and tag team partner with you?
I wouldn't say like fear for my life, but one of the promotions I was at, there was a fan there, and she was a lot bigger than I was, like 300-400 pounds more than I was, and probably had like 5 or 6 inches over me. And I don't know, she just kept coming to these shows. She was a regular at this specific show I was at, and she just kept like threatening me. And being a wrestler, you don't really think of it too much, just because that's something that's kind of common. And I was walking out to my car, and out of nowhere, I just, like, see her come around the corner walking, and she's like, you know, I told you I'd threaten you and da-da-da, and she pulls out this screwdriver, and there's, like, 4 or 5 guys that had to, like, grab her and throw her off. Like, she didn't get close enough to me to where it was going to get too physical yet, but it was the point that a fan that I didn't really take much, I guess, notice and worried to come to where I was parked and basically threatened me with a screwdriver. And it sounds like cheesy, but like just being in that moment, it's kind of like, well, you know, like some of the stuff that we do, we kind of have to pay attention to, because you have to watch your back everywhere you go, whether it's at a wrestling show or, like, even going to a gas station that's a couple miles down the road. Like, you just don't know. Like, some fans take it really, really seriously.
There's definitely some of the old school Southern style fans out there. So,
oh yeah,
that's absolutely true. Now, I'm sure on the flip side of that, you've also had some good encounters with fans. What's been a couple of your favorite fan moments?
I think the fans that the time to actually study your craft and keep up on what you're doing. Like, I've had so many shows where, like, fans will come up to me and be like, hey, like, I've seen this show, or I was on your YouTube account and seen this show, and hey, we've seen that you were going to be here, and just, like, little things that they pick up on that, like, I even forgot. Like, the show that I had last month, a fan and his daughter that couldn't make it to the show, they made a poster that it had, like, the United States of Shadows or something like that on it, and it had the flag that they made. And it's just the simple fact that I don't wrestle to get paid. I don't wrestle to collect things from fans. I've never had that intention. I go because I love what I do. And whether I'm booed or I'm cheered, the fact that the crowd can relate to me is something that I've always seen for when it came to wrestling. So having people actually genuinely care, and, like, whether they meet me in person or message me on social media and being like, hey, you know, like, I watch all your work, but I haven't seen you live yet, or someone that hasn't seen you live and are so eager to see you. So when they finally do, they're like, hey, I'm so-and-so from Facebook, or hey, I'm so-and-so from Instagram. And they freak out that by the time you get home, there's like 6 or 7 pictures of you on Facebook. And they're like, oh, I finally got to see Haley Shadows. Like, just the fact that people pick you from such a big roster from across the world, and they're, you know, so glued to you, that amazes me. And it makes me feel amazing just to be like, okay, this is why I do what I do, you know?
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that he has some questions, so does help you as I pass things along to QT.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Haley.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much. Haley, I saw your YouTube video entitled The Ordinary Freak, Haley Shadows with Nikki Martin versus Lay Von Dutch, MCW Branford. My first question is, have you been able to find out if your opponent, Lay Von Dutch, is indeed a native of Holland, and if she is she from the cities of Tilburg or Groningen?
Oh, wow. I have no idea. When it comes to, I guess, opponents and who they're related to and everything like that, I kind of keep my nose out of it, just more focus on the match itself. But, I mean, Leah's a really fierce competitor, and she has the same love and passion for the business as I do. But as to who she's related to and where she's from, I usually don't pay much attention to that.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm going to mark in the Turnbuckle Turmoil logbook, parts unknown. Okay, very good. All right. Well, the announcer said that you were from the 607 New York. Is the 607 the subway train that leaves Lower Manhattan on the hour and travels to Queens?
Oh, no. 607 is a small town. Walton, New York is where I'm from. It's very, very country. But I've lived in Long Island before, which is, you know, pretty close to New York City and all that. But, no, 607 is the area code of the small town I'm from.
Oh, okay, the 607 area code. By chance, did you ever see the Seinfeld episode where Elaine and Kramer got upset because they had their area codes changed on their phone numbers?
It sounds familiar, but I'm not a diehard fan of Seinfeld. I haven't seen every episode, but that really does ring a bell.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem. All right. Now, Haley, did you know that New Yorker Peter Criss, the original drummer for Kiss, belonged to the junior or minor league gang members of the street gang, the Phantom Lords.
Oh, no, I had no idea about that.
Okay, he was like when he was 15 and 16, he belonged to the minor league Phantom Lords. Yes.
Oh, that's okay. Crazy.
Yes. And did you know that Ace Frehley, the original guitarist from Kiss, was a member of the street gang, the Ducky Boys? And the preferred weapon of choice was a slingshot.
Oh, wow. No, I had no idea about that either.
Oh, okay. Well, Haley, I'm going to give you a Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment, and that is to look up the YouTube, the movie, The Wanderers, and watch the rumble with the Ducky Boys. Will you do this?
Oh, yeah, I totally will do that.
Oh, okay, very nice. Okay. Well, Haley, during the Victorian era of the mid to late 1800s, New York City was rocked by an epidemic of gang violence. Crime was especially rampant in Manhattan neighborhoods like Five Points, Hell's Kitchen, the Fourth Ward, and the Bowery, where back alleys and tenements became infested with thieves, hustlers, and street thugs. Since you're living in the New York area or the Long Island of New York, to your knowledge, did you ever have a great-great-grandmother or grandfather be a member of the following gangs? How about the 40 Thieves?
Not at all.
Okay, no 40 Thieves, okay. How about the Bowery Boys or the Dead Rabbits, whom, according to legend, had among their ranks Hellcat Maggie, who reportedly filed her teeth into points and wore brass fingernails into battle?
I mean, that sounds pretty badass, but no, I don't think that's anything that my family was a part of, not that I know of anyway.
Okay, no Hellcat Maggie. Okay, very good. How about the Daybreak Boys, who were led by cow-legged Sam McCartney and Slobbery Jim?
Oh, yeah. Nope.
No? Okay. Okay, no Daybreak Boys. Okay. How about the Wiles Gang, who were led by Dandy Johnny DeLon, who reportedly carried a copper eye gouger and wore shoes outfitted with axe blades, or Piker Ryan, who carried a detailed price list of all the gruesome deeds he could be hired to perform, and the price, such as chop off ear for $15, or doing the big job, which was murder, for $100.
Oh, wow, yeah. No, that's very detailed, but a bit too crazy for my family.
Okay, no connection to the Wiles Gang. Okay, very good. Have you yourself ever carried a copper eye gouger in your trunks as a foreign object?
Oh, God, no. I think that's a little too illegal when it comes to wrestling. I have weapons, but not as gruesome as that. Plus, in Kentucky, you can't bleed in the ring anyway, so I'd probably screw myself in a match if I did that.
Wow, all right, okay. No relatives related to Piker Ryan, okay, very good. How about the Eastman Gang, led by Jewish mobster Edward Mott Eastman?
Nope, that doesn't sound familiar.
Okay, all right. Did you know that Mott Eastman enlisted in the Army in World War I, and he forged a legendary reputation fighting in the trenches, in trench warfare, and although he returned to New York a war hero, he was brutally gunned down on a city sidewalk in 1920.
I had no idea.
Okay, well, you can do a homework assignment to also look up Mr. Eastmont. Yes. Gang member turned war hero. Okay. Very good. All right, well, Haley, in the match mentioned before, at the 4:19 mark with Lavon Dutch, you refused, despite the crowd's chance to shake her hand, to indeed shake her hand, and indeed you slapped it away. Is this because you fell victim as a child to that old prank of the concealed handheld joy buzzer?
Oh, God, not at all. When I was younger, kids didn't really do that kind of stuff, not to me anyway. No, it was more or less just because she was favorited just because she's Canadian and we were in Canada at the time. And it's one of those things, like, once I'm in the ring, like, I'm there to fight. I'm not there to make friends. So the fact that she didn't do it once and she didn't do it twice, but she did it three times, it was more or less a slap in the face, not just a handshake, like, okay, you're Canadian, you're in Canada, but you think because I'm American or, you know, I'm from the States that I'm going to be taken as a fool. So pretty much that whole match, it went back and forth, but it ended up her being completely choked out to where she couldn't breathe anymore. So I guess it was pretty much a can of can't in that whole scenario.
Yes, you would think that she would get the idea after the third time she offered her hand.
You would think so. It's probably because she's Canadian. They don't really pay much attention to that, I suppose.
All right. Well, what would you have rather used as a foreign object on Miss Von Dutch if you could have got away with it, a joy buzzer or a whoopee cushion?
Well, the joy buzzers, they, like, zap you a little bit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, probably that, just because a whoopee cushion, I feel like it wouldn't be as impactful as a buzzer would.
Okay. All right, or a whoopee cushion. Okay, very good. Now, at the 6:45 mark to the 6:58 mark, you can see Nicky Martin and his stylish hat in the video. Is Nicky Martin also from the New York area? And if so, did you meet him on the 607 subway train that runs from Queens to Fort Apache?
No, he's actually Canadian as well. That's where he resides in. But, no, he got a hold of me months and months prior and was like, I really love your work and I would really like to have you come up and work with me and have me be your manager. So it just goes to show that, you know, Leah is Canadian, but so is my manager up there. And it just goes to show that there's dumb Canadians and there's ones that's like, okay, I'm going to side with Shadows on this one. So I don't know. They're two different breeds up there.
Oh, okay. Very good. To your knowledge, does Nicky Martin carry a very nice business card?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He's like a crazy businessman when it comes to stuff like that. So, yeah, more than likely.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Haley, at the 12:20 mark, Miss Von Dutch gave you three elbows to the upper chest pec area and shoulder region that effectively trapped you in the corner. She then went to the corner furthest away from you and did a Shawn Michaels Sweet Chin Music foot stomp on the floor. She then crossed the ring, and unlike her first failed attempt, she connected with her pure white right boot to your jaw. My question is, do you know where she got these nice-looking pure white boots, and are you yourself a big fan of Shawn Michaels?
I have no idea where she got her boots from. Probably somewhere in Canada, I would think. As far as Shawn Michaels goes, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Shawn Michaels. I just got his book, and I have yet to read it. I've been busy, but no, I'm a huge, huge fan of Shawn Michaels.
Oh, all right, okay. For our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, can you tell them the name of that book, and is it an autographed copy?
Unfortunately, it's not an autographed copy, and I don't know if there's a specific name. I just know it's his newer one. It's like a biography. He's on the cover, obviously, and he's like leaning against the ropes. But, yeah, no, I haven't read it yet, but he tweeted me about it, so I got excited about that.
Wow, you actually received a tweet from Shawn Michaels?
No, yeah, no, I freaked out about it.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, after Levon Dutch gave you the Sweet Chin Music, she also gave you a spear, and then she got a 2.5 count on you. You kicked out just in time, and if you freeze the video at exactly the 12:48 mark, you can see that Leigh is looking into the camera with both her hands on her head and the look of utter amazement and disbelief that you could have possibly withstood her sweet chin boot to the jaw and spear. I am going to say she somewhat resembled Dee Snider of Twisted Sister without the makeup if you stop the video at the 12:48 mark. My question is, do you think with her hair color and length of hair, she kind of looks like the Twisted Sister frontman?
Honestly, now that you say that, I know exactly what part you're talking about, and she definitely resembles Big Time. If she did the makeup and they had a little bit of Twisted Sister playing, I wouldn't even know the difference.
Aha! Okay, very nice, okay. Well, now you got Lee Van Dutch to submit to an MMA submission hold that had her neck partly bent forward and her air supply cut off. How long have you been an MMA student?
Surprisingly, I haven't done any MMA in my life. I did karate as a kid, but that move just came from me studying wrestling matches and really trying to find a move that no one else did, especially females, because it's very rare for you to find females that do submission. But no, I came out with the Haley Ever After a few years ago and started doing it in training and then started using it in matches. And in my defense, it's worked so far. I mean, not many people have gotten out of it, and it's either they submit or I just choose not to let go.
Yes, you also refused to let go in that match with Le'Veon Dutch, and she won, therefore, by DQ. Have you met up with her since the match and wrestled her again?
I haven't wrestled her. I have seen her, I believe it was last month. She did one of the girl fight shows that I did in Indiana. I don't know if her and I are scheduled to wrestle. I'm sure it'll be in Canada next. But, yeah, the next time we're in the ring, I just hope she knows that once I call for the Haley Ever After, there's no getting out of it unless there's a few people to tear me off.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Haley, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Horror Show Introducing Haley Shadows. My question is, why is Jason Saint, who has served as a martyr for the misunderstood, behind bars in a prison setting?
I think it's basically where Jason and I were going with that, is that Jason has always been contained and very caged when it came to society, because anybody who's, you know, looked at as weird or unique or different, they can relate to Jason and I, and they can relate to hashtag horror show, to where, oh, society thinks it's weird that you do this, and, you know, society thinks that you shouldn't be doing that. So I think that's really where the cage comes in, because Jason has been caged his whole life. He's never, you know, cut himself down a few notches to be like everybody else. He's born to stand out, and he's born to be different, and I feel like in his career, he's definitely succeeded the limit and pushed the bar when it comes to what he does and what he says. But the setting itself, it's really just showing, you know, that Jason has been caged, but then here I am and here I come behind Jason being like, you know, I got your back, like, let's be weird together, like, let's let every normal and every person that looks down on people like us, like, really, like, put up or shut up, like, because we're about to do this thing and we're about to make people understand, like, just what the term let's get weird means.
Oh, okay. All right. Would you yourself be comfortable in a prison setting, say, like Angola State Prison or Alcatraz back in the 1940s?
I would totally be comfortable with that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Haley, you said that you grew up on Long Island after having moved there from Oklahoma, and you said that there were a lot of cows on Long Island when you were growing up?
No, Long Island, I lived there for a few years, but where I'm actually from and where I grew up, because I only lived in Long Island for a few years, but where I'm from originally, it's like 3 hours from Long Island. It's called Walton, New York, but yeah, it's a small country town, and there's more cows than people there. You'll be at a red light, and there's 3 tractors in front of you. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay, Walton, New York. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Haley, cow tipping is an urban legend. No one is going to push over a 900 to 1,400-pound cow, but did you ever tip any 50 to 60-pound calves over or move them slightly yourself?
I don't think it's a myth because I've gone cow tipping before. It's definitely something that you have to be careful with because it can backfire, because that has happened to me on more than one occasion, to where you either think that they're sleeping or you mess up or there's more cows around than you thought. And they get crazy. Like, I don't know if it's like sleepwalking or what it is, but they'll chase after you. So you really have to know your surroundings and what you're doing.
Wow. All right. Okay. All right. Well, now you said the first wrestler you saw on TV at that pivotal moment was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Has he ever influenced you to drink a beer in the ring?
Well, believe it or not, Steve Austin has been my role model since day one, whether it was him being Stone Cold Steve Austin or Stunning Steve Austin, anything that he's been, I've always related to in some way, but I'm straight edge, so I've never drank, smoked, did drugs, anything. So it's odd really having that conversation with certain people because they're like, oh, your favorite wrestler is Steve Austin. Like, he motivates you, so you must be a heavy drinker. And I'm like, you know, like, I've never touched any of it. So it just goes to show that his actual attitude and in-ring motivates me, not just, I guess, the stuff people just build around him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you did find yourself in a drinking contest with the Amazing Maria, could you down more Jello shots, in your opinion?
Oh, God, probably not, because I've never drank in my life, so I can't even imagine that. I mean, she can drink, and I'll just sit there and eat, like, watermelon Jello or whatever. But when it comes to alcohol, yeah, anyone could probably beat me in that, because I couldn't even think of doing that.
Oh, all right. Okay, and that leads into my next question. Andre the Giant could drink 150 beers in a setting. I was going to ask you if you could drink 2 32-ounce tall boys of Brass Monkey malt liquor, but I know the answer now. Yes.
Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't last at all. I mean, if you want to, like, give me apple juice or, you know, like, Fiji water or something, I'm sure I could drink quite a bit of that. But alcohol, yeah, probably not.
Wow, okay, very good. All right, I'm going to mark that down in our logbook, okay? Now, do you have any plans to manufacture a Haley Shadows action figure?
Now, I've been talking to a few people about it. It's just more likely to find someone that can really build out certain characteristics that I really want to, but it's just hard when you're not fully established by, you know, like TNA or WWE, things like that. But it's more or less just finding someone that can really put together an action figure that really portrays me, because the last thing I want is to have someone have a Haley Shadows action figure and then someone else is like, oh, is this so-and-so? And they're like, no, this is Haley Shadows. Like, that's the last thing I want. So it's really just finding someone that's artistic enough to not do it just once, but, like, repeatedly.
Well, okay. All right. Now, are there any truth to the rumors that you're a huge fan of the Big Bang Theory?
Oh, my God. So many people are fans of that, but I've never even watched the show. I get yelled at for it all the time because so many people I talk to are huge fans of that, but I have not even seen a scene of one episode, so I have no idea.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to ask you if you would ever use one of Howard Wolowitz's belts on him as a foreign object, but that now I can't do that. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, WOW and GLOW was mentioned by Sign Guy earlier. Is it one of your goals to make an appearance on Chikara Wrestling? Chikara.
Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list when it comes to wrestling. I haven't had the opportunity to be there yet, but it's going to happen. I know some of the people that are in it, and I've heard and seen nothing but great things from that company, and it's amazing to me what they do and who's there and just the matches that they put on. So to be a part of that would be incredible for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Haley, I also saw your match against Mary Elizabeth Monroe and TNA's Rebel. Now, Rebel had a unique entrance to the ring. She got up on the ring apron, and then supported by the lower rope, she displayed amazing leg and groin flexibility by paralleling the bottom rope in a modified hurdler's stretch. Any opponent witnessing this must have immediately thought in your mind, with such flexibility, Rebel must have been schooled in the ways of the Oriental arts. Or she must have pole danced on the side for extra money at various strip bars. Beware. Was this also your logic?
Basically what I try to portray when I go to the ring, whether I get to speak on a microphone or not, and whether I'm cheered or I'm booed, pretty much any girl that I've encountered in wrestling is a Barbie to me. And the entrance that Rebel did, I feel like anyone could do that if they stretch long enough or dance on a pole long enough, whatever she did to get that flexible. But I don't really pay too much attention when it comes to the competitors' in-ring style or their entrances, because I have no worries about it. To me, anyone that I've ever faced, they're all a bunch of Barbies that if I really wanted to be a Barbie, it wouldn't be that hard, but that's why I'm the ordinary freak. I'm different and I'm unique, and I know how to use my differences and my powers to win matches and to choose if I win or lose matches. So Rebel's entrance, I didn't really get a good glimpse of, and that's probably a good thing that worked out in my favor. But yeah, I don't know what she did on the side to be able to do that entrance or think that that was a good idea, but I mean, I guess that's a good way to get the average male on her side.
Oh, okay. All right, average male, I got that written down. Okay. Now, I was amazed at the 802 mark when, even after being booted in the face, Mary Elizabeth Monroe was able to catch and hold TNA's Rebel in a lateral press hold after she came off the second turnbuckle. Were you aware of the upper body strength of Mary Elizabeth? Because physics teach us that if you take a 140 to 150-pound object and add force by movement, it's like doubling the force. So Rebel basically cleaned and jerked 302 pounds.
Rebel, I don't know. Rebel's pretty light. I wouldn't imagine that she would weigh 140 to 150. But when it comes to Mary Elizabeth Monroe, just like Rebel, I don't really pay attention to how much you lift, bro, and all her other Instagram posts. I could care less what her, Rebel, or any other female that I go in the ring with can do or can't do, or how they can maneuver things, because it takes a lot of power to do the Haley after. And again, once I hook that in, it's game over. So when it comes to other competitors and how much they lift and what they can do, I'm not really worried about it.
Wow, all right. Due to your comments, I'm going to say that I overestimated Rebel's weight by about 40 pounds. Okay, very good. That's very good to clarify that. Okay. Now, you yourself were able to use your legs as a weapon when at the 9:02 mark, you kicked Rebel on the left upper thigh with your right foot, and then you followed that with a left leg kick to her right upper thigh, and then a kick with your right leg to her left lower side. My question is, were you schooled in the ways of jiu-jitsu, or did you ever enroll in a Shaolin monastery?
No, I've only done karate when I was younger, but again, like, I study wrestling so much. So CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and Chris Jericho and Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, all of those guys have definitely portrayed a lot in my life when it comes to studying and really trying to watch, okay, like, they do it like this, so maybe I should. So most of the time when I'm in the ring, I'm usually the smaller competitor, so it's more or less, okay, so if you're taller than me, I can kick you down quicker. Like, so it's always been something along the lines of, okay, well, you know, my legs are strong and kicking people down to my level or even shorter definitely works out in my favor.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you hope to ring announce after you hang up the wrestling boots?
I've always thought about what it would be like not being a wrestler. It's really, really hard, but I don't know if I would be an announcer, maybe something more backstage. But, yeah, after I'm done wrestling, I definitely plan on still being in the scene and being in that atmosphere because once you're in it, it's really hard to get out of your system.
Oh, okay. All right. Would you say that your mom and dad are your biggest fans?
I would say my mom definitely has been there through, like, everything when it comes to wrestling. Like, she's seen my first match and stuff. But family-wise, my grandma and my grandpa are huge fans, too. And my little cousins back home, they have my first match on DVD, and they watch all my YouTube shows and all my matches that I put on Facebook and everything like that. So for the most part, my family is a really, really good support system when it comes to stuff like that.
Wow. All right. Well, Haley, I wish you luck with your Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment to watch The Wanderers on YouTube, the Rumble scene with the Ducky Boys, whom Ace Frehley was rumored to be a member of. And at this point, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Haley, I know that upcoming you have a big show in New York. I know it's a pretty big deal for you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you have coming up in the state of New York?
New York, the promotion I'll be with is called In Your Face Wrestling, and they do incredible shows up there. I've had the privilege to be with them a few times, not just managing, but wrestling also. But, yeah, this show is basically, they call it like their WrestleMania show. It's supposed to be the biggest show of the year that they're doing, but they're having Marty Jannetty there, Hardcore Holly, Kevin Nash. Like, they're having really, really big names there. So one of the shows I did with them, I had the privilege of working with Animal, so I got to have like a little segment with him and talk to him backstage for quite a while. So the show itself, they bring out really, really cool names just to be like, hey, you know, I was a part of that show. But the show that I'm a part of, it's in March, and it's March 12th, I believe, and I'm in a tag team match. So surprisingly, from me being from New York, I'm not very well liked there, but nonetheless, the show itself is really, really awesome.
Well, we have a few minutes left. I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the people listening today, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, social medias, merchandise, upcoming shows, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Okay, well, on Facebook and Instagram, I'm known as Haley_Shadow, so definitely check that out because on both sites I post all my matches, new gear, upcoming gear, new merchandise, just basically everything that I'm doing day-to-day is on both of those. On Twitter, I'm also under Haley Shadows, but the actual username is Emily E. Kennedy, and my last name is spelled C-A-N-A-D-Y. But yeah, on Twitter too, I'm always posting videos and pictures up there. Some of the merchandise I have, of course, like pictures, but I have one shirt already that is portrayed as my face paint, my eyes, my lip rings, but I have a new shirt that should be coming in, so hopefully be taking pre-orders for that soon. But, yeah, my YouTube channel is also under Haley Shadows, so check me out on there. But, yeah, I'm really, really big when it comes to communicating with the fans. So definitely tweet me or message me, comment me, tag me in something. Because for the most part, I definitely love the feedback. And whether you hate me or you love me, you know, like, just keep me posted, because I care about the fans and I care about what they're doing and what they think and how they feel about everything. So definitely hit me up and check me out on social media.
Well, Haley, we want to thank you very much for taking time today to be with us. It was a pleasure to have you, and hopefully we'll have you back again and tell the amazing one I'll see her soon, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will keep her posted, but thank you guys for having me on the show, for real. It was awesome.
Thank you.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to see Haley's Shadows on a show near you, definitely take advantage of it. Very good talent. I think she's going to go to a lot of great places in her career, working very hard, improving a lot. So get out there, support her, support all the local independents in your area. Get out there, find yourself a show, and we will be back with you Sunday afternoon, Cruiserweight Day. We got a bunch of cruiserweights coming on the show to talk about that aspect of the business. We'll talk to you Sunday afternoon.